He went through the cans again, one by one, holding them in his hand and squeezing them like a man checking for ripeness at a fruit stand. He sorted out two he thought questionable, and packed away the rest, and packed the cart, and they set out upon the road again. In 3 days, they came to a small port town, and they hid the cart in a garage behind a house and piled old boxes over it, and then sat in the house to see if anyone would come. No one did. He looked through the cabinets, but there was nothing there. He needed vitamin D for the boy, or he was going to get rickets. He stood at the sink and looked down at the driveway, light the color of wash water congealing in the dirty panes of glass. The boy sat slumped at the table with his head in his arms. They walked through the town and down to the docks. They saw no one. He had the pistol in the pocket of his coat, and he carried the flare gun in his hand. They walked out on the pier, the rough boards dark with tar and fastened down with spikes to the timbers underneath. Wooden bollards, faint smell of salt and creosote coming in off the bay. On the far shore, a row of warehouses in the shape of a tanker, red with rust. A tall gantry crane against the sullen sky. "There's no one here," he said. The boy didn't answer. They wheeled the cart through the back streets and across the railroad tracks and came back into the main road at the far edge of the town. As they passed the last of the sad wooden buildings, something whistled past his head and clattered off the street and broke up against the side of the block wall building on the other side. He grabbed the boy and fell on top of him and grabbed the cart to pull it to them. It tipped and fell over, spilling the tarp and blankets into the street. In an upper window of the house, he could see a man drawing a bow on them, and he pushed the boy's head down and tried to cover him with his body. He heard the dull thwang of the bowstring and felt a sharp, hot pain in his leg. "Oh, you bastard," he said. "You bastard!" He clawed the blankets to one side and lunged and grabbed the flare gun and raised up and cocked it and rested his arm on the side of the cart. The boy was clinging to him. When the man stepped back into the frame of the window to draw the bow again, he fired. The flare went rocketing up toward the window in a long white arc, and then they could hear the man screaming. He grabbed the boy and pushed him down and dragged the blankets over the top of him. "Don't move," he said. "Don't move and don't look." He pulled the blankets out into the street, looking for the case for the flare pistol. It finally slid out of the cart, and he snatched it up and opened it and took out the shells and reloaded the pistol and breached it shut and put the rest of the loads in his pocket. "Stay just like you are," he whispered. He patted the boy through the blankets and rose and ran limping across the street. He entered the house through the back door with the flare gun leveled at his waist. He could smell the cold septic odor of the burning magnesium. The house was stripped out to the wall studs. He stepped through into the living room and stood at the stair landing. He could hear the flare hissing in the upper room. He looked out the front window to where the cart lay in the street. Then he went up the stairs.